Welcome to Not Enough Champagne, a podcast that doesn't really know what to call its hashtags. My name is Corey Hazelhurst and my partner in propaganda is Steve Haynes.
Hey, Corey.
Now, usually for these kind of episodes, it's just me on my own and Steve's voice comes to you from a void, but we've recorded a new intro for a bit of an outtake from our previous episode. So we met up on Wednesday to talk about the prorogation of Parliament. As we did so, people were protesting out in the rain all over the country, protesting about the coup that was going on, and the hashtag on Twitter was coup. And we had a rather lengthy argument about
whether or not it's appropriate to use the word coup. Yeah.
It started off as being, well, what should our message be? And then
it just evolved and degraded from there.
So we're putting this out on Sunday, mainly for relevance, and we'll have another episode out in the week as well about the Amazon rainforest, I believe. Also, thank you to those people who filled out the listener survey. If you haven't done it, it's on our Twitter page. We'll tweet it on this episode as well. So it's just answer a few questions about what you like about the podcast, what you don't like about the podcast, any topics you'd like.
Any potential guests and things that you might recommend. But basically just getting some feedback off of you guys, so how we can improve things.
Someone recommended we have Seamus Milne on as a guest. We'll see how we go with that one.
Only if we can actually put him in a cannon.
In the meantime, here's what we said. In the terms of Labour's general messaging, it's all been a little bit all over the place on Brexit generally. We're obviously trying new things.
Yeah.
So Corbyn's talked about a Trump no-deal Brexit. We've also talked about a banker's no-deal Brexit, which I find the most incongruous because bankers don't want a no-deal Brexit.
Yeah, bankers, as has been discussed multiple times, actually, for the most part, the more you earn, the more likely you are to back Remain. And bankers in particular.
That's not what we've said at all. We've said that being middle class is more a countenance of voting Leave, whereas working class was not a countenance of whether you voted Leave or Remain. It's well off people in the southeast who.
Yeah, but there's a level actually of which actually when you look at it, there is still but effectively, you know, you've got your middle class and then you've got your David Camerons, so your upper middle class.
Yeah, disaster capitalists wanted Brexit, the City of London didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is the problem, is that it just feels like we're just mentioning people who we think are bad to try and fit it into our worldview, but not in a very interesting way.
Yeah.
Other thing about the prorogation, which I know you wanted to talk about, so I'll just give the floor to you, is the fact that the hashtag on Twitter is a coup.
Oh, this just does my head in. Look, I can kind of see why the language has been used, but it's irresponsible language. Because at the end of the day, like it, loathe it, constitutional crisis or not, whatever, almost guarantee you this is legal. They're going to have been very, very careful about how they've done this. And the fact that they've done it with a Queen, as part of a Queen's speech, means they've thought this through very, very carefully. And my guess is, whilst you will probably see some form of legal challenge, that legal challenge is going to get swatted away quite quickly. A coup is not a legal thing. Coup, as terminology, implies violence. Coup in terminology implies an uprising. Coup is something which is done to the people. And the reality is, as much as we might freaking hate this as people who voted Remain, an awful lot of people are probably actually fine with this. Especially as it is probably legal. Like, so this language is unhelpful in general, just in terms of winning people over. Because if you're kind of, you know, half and half on this and you don't really care either way, you're just going to see this and go, oh, this is just a massively hyperbolic. Like, calling it a coup, it's clearly not a coup, it's legal, the courts just said so. So you're not winning people over. And what you're also doing, long term, is continuing that cycle of delegitimising any form of opinion which does not match your own. Because suddenly, if the government does something we don't like, that's a coup. Well, what's stopping them doing the exact same thing? Where should we get a left-wing parliament?
My issue is that you're more angry about what they're calling it than what the government's actually doing. And what the government's actually doing is terrible.
Yeah, what the government's doing is terrible, and we're playing directly into their hands with this. And that's what annoys me and makes me quite angry, is because we're making their job easier, and we should know better than this by now. It happened with Osborne as well. Every single time Osborne laid out a trap in a budget or whatever, we seem to walk straight into it. Every single time something like this happens, and where we have an opportunity to try and not be hyperbolic and actually try and approach a situation with some level of maturity, we immediately start using this kind of language.
What should we call it?
I don't understand what, like...
But, so, the problem that... It feels to me like the problem that the anti-No Deal Alliance have had is a failure in communication to communicate, A, the extent to how bad No Deal will be, and B, the being able to criticise and hold to account the government and its handling of it. And, therefore, you try and go for... catchy things that you know, like people kind of know what a coup is, right? A coup is a group of people trying to wrest the government from one group to the other in a way which is against the consent of a lot of the people. I think the last time I saw coup, like the hashtag "this is a coup" when we had the Troika imposition of the austerity on Greece, and we saw it with the attempt to oust Corbyn. I'm sorry, they seem like two very different, but you know what I mean. Like both of them are called coups. We had a coup in Sudan a few weeks ago because essentially there were protests on the street and the military kind of brought the president down after 20 years or something. So I can see why a shorthand is used. I can also see why it's unhelpful, but the thing is, it needs labelling.
Does it though? We don't need to label every single act of a government that you disagree with. We don't describe Brexit as a whole as a coup. Even under the coalition government, we didn't describe austerity as a coup or anything like that.
Well, that's because that those things happened while Parliament was sitting with the consent of MPs who'd been elected. Like, there's a difference, isn't there, between a coalition government passing stuff.
Parliament government voted to enact Article 50, which has a basis of it, has no deal. Once negotiating period is over, if no deal has been struck, we leave without a deal. Parliament has voted on that. Parliament voted for it. There is, the will of Parliament has actually been part of that. The fact that people didn't seem to realise that when they voted for it doesn't change the fact that they already did.
No, but it also, that therefore doesn't necessarily then say that the government can stop Parliament from sitting in order to get a no-deal Brexit through, which, let's face it, was not what MPs triggered Article 50 for, and it's not what anyone campaigned for in 2016.
No, absolutely. But equally, just jumping to the extreme end of the rhetoric, just because we need to call it something?
No, but the whole point is that I think a lot of it is that our side is losing the communication war, and you need something to... You need a talking point that you can hammer repeatedly. Like, Johnson's got it, hasn't he? Deliver Brexit, unite the party, defeat Corbyn. Like, he's been repeating that. The problem with our side, and one could argue the progressive left generally, is that it doesn't do that. And I think part of the criticism that we've got in terms of talking about bankers' Brexit...
Trump Brexit,
a coup, is that... Partly that they're inaccurate in the case of bankers' Brexit, but also it almost fits into your view of, well, we don't like these things, they are bad, therefore we'll call them this and then hope that people believe with us. So I can kind of see, okay, it's not meant to try and win the other side over, but on the other hand, we need something to say, a line for people to say on the news, or even a Twitter hashtag, just to kind of say, look, something very terrible is happening, something very anti-democratic is happening, and we should be, we should be more outraged at what the government is doing than we should,
Why not just use the phrase that they're causing a constitutional crisis? Why not play into the fact that what they're asking, because the Queen is a beloved figure, that what they're asking the Queen to do is putting the monarchy at risk? Why not just just do something like that? Why leap to the language of Ku? Like you kind of put me on the spot earlier, and my mind went blank. But like, I'm sure, give me an hour, I could probably come up with some alternatives for a communication in terms of a baseline of communications of a messaging for this. I mean, it still wouldn't be effective because fundamentally the issue that the left and progressives and Remainers in general have is that we don't have a product to market. Like, what are we trying to push? Well, okay, we're just trying to stop Brexit. Are we trying to stop Brexit by having another referendum? Actually, we can't agree on that. Are we trying to stop Brexit by having a vote of no confidence in Boris Johnson's government? Well, sort of, yes, but we can't agree what's going to come after that, so none of us actually want a general election, so we can't do that.
I think you'll find Labour does want a general election because it will win.
Yeah, obviously, yes. Likewise, are we trying to do it by revoking Article 50? Well, there's definitely not the votes for that. So the core issue, and I think this is kind of where the coup stuff kind of gets, it's kind of getting in my craw a little bit, is because we seem to have just kind of gone, the issue is the messaging, and we can, if we shout louder, people will pay attention to us. But the reality is they're not going to, because we haven't got anything to say. Like, we say we want to stop Brexit. Cool. How? And that's what's missing. And that fundamentally is where I think that you're right, that the coup kind of language and that sort of stuff is kind of born out of the void of anything else to say. But the fact that it's come so easily to us to jump to that level is indicative of basically saying to, like, as you say, it's falling into that trap of bad things are bad, let us link them together. And what we're doing here is basically saying, if you voted Brexit, if you support this, you are basically illegitimate, you are undermining the entirety of democracy.
This does undermine the entirety of democracy.
Not in the
yes,
very
it
sense.
Does. How does it not?
Because legally it doesn't, and that's my point. Legally it does not undermine it, because the British Parliament is the weakest parliament in Europe.
It doesn't matter necessarily that things are done legally. The whole point is it's not that, it's the intention with which you do them, isn't it?
Yeah, but you've argued earlier, just now, that you don't even think this is what they want.
No.
So it's the intent. If it's the intention of which you do it, and we don't think they actually even want to do this, then
no. But the whole point. But then exactly. But then the whole point is that it legitimises No Deal, and it legitimises Farage's argument, and it emboldens those people. Those people are the disaster capitalists who want No Deal. Like the whole point is, it is a democratic outrage. It is a constitutional outrage. It is the height of disingenuousness to claim that somehow, oh well, we're doing this because we need a Queen's speech, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Like that's like surface level stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, but
that's not why it's happening. That's not why it's happening now.
No, but it's that, like, ultimately though, you can probably make a, like, not necessarily to the same degree, but it's just a politician is saying one thing and doing another. The intent behind it is different. Most people will look at that and view it as, well, that's just what politicians do. Like, yes, it's on a completely different level. Yes, maybe there's a bigger risk to it.
And hence the point of the coup hashtag, isn't it? Because the whole point is that this is on a different level. Like, I was looking into this earlier, and like in Canada, Stephen Harper's prorogued Parliament a couple of times. There was he was going to lose a vote of no confidence, and so he prorogued Parliament for 2 months, which gave him a chance to let the heat go from the issue, formed a new administration, and it was very, very bumpy for a bit. But the whole point is, that was a sneaky tactic in order to stay in office.
Mm-hmm.
This, and the aim of it is, to try and enact a no-deal Brexit, which would lead to medicine, food shortages, all the rest mm-hmm. of it. So it's a completely different level. It's no good saying, well, we just need a Queen's speech, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm not saying it's a,
well, you
it's
just
a good thing. No, I've not said it's a good thing at all. What I've said is that fundamentally, at the end of the day, this isn't illegal. Yes, it's bad. I agree with you, it's bad. I agree with like 90% of people that have kind of like actually been talking about this, that it's bad. But because we don't have anything else to say on the matter other than bad thing is bad, and then we've just leapt to a use of language which will alienate everybody else we need to win over, we've just ended up in a position where we're not actually doing anything helpful.
But again, I don't think again, the thing is, legality is not the same as morality. And I know you're going to accuse me of Godwin's law, but the whole point of the Enabling Act in 1933, like the Nazis made sure, at least in the early days, like what they were doing was completely legal.
Yeah,
sometimes the case of the Night of the Long Knives did it retrospectively. Now, I'm not saying this is in any way near that level, but just saying, like in January 1933, he's just supposed to kind of stroke your chin and say, ah, well, he didn't do anything illegal, so it's fine.
Yeah. But ultimately, we need to be able, like, as Remainers, as the left, as progressives, call us whatever you want, whatever the grouping is that you want to kind of like associate us with, or the people that we're friends with. We need to start thinking, and not about kind of like in that kind of way as well. Not necessarily to act in that kind of way, but we need to be actually get into that mindset and actually understand it. And that's one thing which I think we're absolutely terrible at doing, is actually, effectively, what we always do is we turn up to the fight with a knife, they turn up to it with a 6-gauge shot, with a 12-gauge shotgun. You know, because they've actually thought things through about how they're going to manipulate everything, what the rules they're going to push and all of that sort of stuff. Yes, it's wrong, but it just immediately undermines us. Like, the morality point you make is absolutely correct. It is not necessarily moral. It is not necessarily a good thing or anything of the sort. Legality, you know, doesn't mean anything. It just means it's legal. It just means the law is on your side. Doesn't make it right, doesn't make it wrong. It just means it's legal. Like, slavery, legal for hundreds of years. Blight upon human history. But we need to be able to actually kind of look at this situation and go, this is what they're thinking. This is how they're going to play it. And us immediately jumping to kind of the language of coup and things like that, which most people are going to look at and go, this is daft. That's not helpful. That doesn't help us do anything.
But again, it's that middle ground, isn't it? Between getting something which shows the enormity of what's happening, but then also cuts through. And it has to be something that's repeated. And again, part of the issue is that the forces on the other side have been quite
effective.
Well, obviously, the forces on the Remain side have been completely ineffective. Hope you enjoyed that. And listening back, hope it wasn't too bad, maybe. In the meantime, James Crown designed the logo. You can follow him on Twitter at James Crown. Dave Depper is responsible for our theme tune, Flicky Good Times. Our website is notenoughchampagne.com. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/notenoughchampagne. My Twitter handle is paperbackrioter.
Mine is @acousticradical.
Happy plotting.